The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorn Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby? That is the question. You are listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk, TGIF, and Furbulous Friday to you, Junior.
Oh, same to you. Yes, the weekend's here, and it looks like here in Dallas, it looks like the skies cleared up a little bit. Got the sunshine out today, so that's nice.
Nice, it's nice. Well, yeah. I'm actually headed to Oklahoma first thing tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'm going to stop and get my hair done along the way because it's a very special occasion. I hope I just got real emotional because I know that my daughter is listening. She is Vincenza Marie Swad, and she's graduating from college tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
From the university.
That's awesome.
I'm never ready for my emotions. I had no idea that was going to make me want to tear up, but it is, because it's such a huge accomplishment. And to all the graduates out there that have persevered and gotten through the last 4 or 5 years, you know, of college and are getting their degree this weekend, congratulations to all of them.
Yes, that's so awesome. Congrats.
Yeah.
Great.
I tried college once.
Yeah, I did too. I tried.
I lasted about 2 years. Well, first of all,
more than I lasted 2 semesters.
Yeah. Well, I did end up getting, like, you know, enough credits for like an associate's degree. Big whoop, right? But the thing is, I think I went to college too late in life because I found myself like arguing with the professors, you know.
Gotcha.
I was too opinionated. And it was when, you know, when we started Pizza Patron. I mean, I was going to college and working, you know, like at 80 hours in the restaurant. It was really, really hard. But we didn't open until 4 o'clock was that we were open from 4 to midnight or 4 to 11, depending upon the location. So I could go to school during the day and work, you know, work all night. Mm-hmm. Well, the early day, but yeah. So anyway, that's a whole other topic. But we should talk about that sometime, because I love talking about entrepreneurship and I love talking about animals, and it is Furry Friday and we've got a great show lined up for you. We have Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos at the half. She is the lead veterinarian for Merrick, a pet care. We're going to be talking about caring for the mental health of our pets in honor of Mental Health Awareness Day. And we also have one of my favorite guys. I believe he is on the line. Mark Peralta, are you there?
I'm here and happy to be here. Hello.
Hello. Always good to have you on the show. It really is. And TGIF to you and Furbulous Friday. Mark Peralta, he is the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. The work that they do is incredible, you guys. Mark also founded and runs Vintage Pet Rescue with his wife, Kristen, rescuing senior pets from shelters and assisting owners who can no longer care for their senior pets. You can reach Mark at bestfriends.org or at vintagepetrescue.org. Always a pleasure. Today we're talking about the Best Friends National Conference. Where is it this year?
Well, it's virtual, so it's everywhere. And what a great segment, right? Because that's where we first met. When I was in Dallas, remember?
Yeah. Yes, yes. That's why I got so excited. I was thinking, oh my gosh, is it in Dallas this year? And I didn't know it, but it's virtual, which is cool, which actually more people will probably be able to participate, right?
We hope so. And it's been really interesting because, you know, we hope to have an in-person conference next year, but I think some of the virtual learnings of this year, it'll be cool to see what this conference will be kind of upcoming. But yeah, this year is totally virtual, but it makes it easy, like you said, for anybody to attend.
Yeah. Well, so who is attending at the event? Who will be there? Like, do you have any vendors that are participating and sponsors?
Oh, tons of vendors, tons of sponsors. So Petco Foundation, or Petco Love, as they're called now, will be there. Maddie's Fund, you know, all kinds of vendors with all kinds of cool things if you love animals, and things from like clothing to leashes to actual practical equipment. But we'll have over 130 speakers. There's about 90 sessions. And, you know, I know that that's hard to choose from, but because it's virtual, you're also going to be able to have some on-demand viewing after, too. So you can actually see every one of them if you want at some point.
Yeah, I love doing the shopping, you know, when they have all the vendors. In fact, the last time when you were in Dallas, that was the last time you guys were, right? Was that your last conference, or did you have one since? Because I think that was like 2 years ago, right, when we first met?
Yeah, we had one. Yeah, we did, and we did not have one last year, obviously, because of the pandemic. So,
We
have not had a get-together since then.
Wow. Well, you know, every year at the conference, you release the data set for animal welfare. So, in other words, you measure how animal shelters are doing around the country. So, can you tell us what the results are today? Can we have a sneak peek?
I can't, but what I can tell you is we're you know, it's really hard because you're talking about 4,800 shelters, right? And sometimes they report through their state. So we've gotten everything in. So now it's consolidating and organizing. But I promise you the next time I'm on the call, I'll be able to tell you. But it's really exciting. We're seeing more animals being saved, less animals unnecessarily dying in shelters. So we're moving on. It's going to be a really big year.
I can't wait
to actually dig in with you.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear them. And you know, I know, I mean, people out there that love animals like we do, that have been rescuing animals for years, it is just, it's heartbreaking. But I do feel that finally there has been a breakthrough in America, especially where we really have changed things. Enough people have gotten together and collaborated that we, as a collective effort, have really influenced how many animals continue to suffer and are put down. Right, Mark? I mean, it's been remarkable, at least what I see.
It really has. And I think people, it's overwhelming to think of all of the different animal services and things that we could use help with. But really, you know, with us trying to solidify the shelter as a safe place, as a part of the community that has a really good community exchange of help, like, it needs to start there, because those are the actual agencies that are meant to be the fallback or the safety net for us in a community. So, and it's been tremendous. I mean, I've been in the field for 15 years, and to think about where things were when I started to now, even, it's just incredible. It feels great.
Yeah, it does. And so what issues will be at the top of mind during this year's event?
Well, you know, it's an array, right? Because, you know, we definitely have people that work in animal shelters that come to these conferences. So there's very good practical things. But, you know, Best Friends is really, and the 2025, you know, effort that we have, the No Kill 2025 effort, really is about getting animal lovers to get more, you know, involved, whether it's with their animal shelter, fostering, doing community cat, spay and neuter, trapping, releasing. So we're going to have a lot of things that you could get a kind of insight into the industry if you wanted to do that, but a lot of stuff about community systems and how we kind of can work together for the betterment of saving lives. So we really hope and always hope to get about 50% of the attendees, which usually it is, are usually people that are just animal lovers that want to know how to get involved and maybe a little bit just more information about what's going on.
Yeah. And there are some great organizations that work with you. And one of them is our sponsor, Sun Warrior. You know, you've partnered with them.
Yep.
I don't know what you guys are actually working on together, but it's nice to see that that so many great companies, like I said earlier, you know, collaborating and coming together to really change this, what do I want to call this? The atrocity of the number of animals that have been euthanized in this country for years and years and years. To see that number drop so dramatically is just incredible. It's incredible. And so kudos to companies like Sun Warrior. And then what's the, is it Capital Absolutely. Bank? What's the bank that has the credit card? I don't
Capital
have it
One.
In front.
Yep.
Capital One.
It's
okay.
Capital One.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, about Capital One.
So we have, if anybody's interested in getting a new credit card, there is now a credit card with Capital One with Best Friends. You can get a bright orange, beautiful Capital One Best Friends credit card.
Yep.
And your purchases, you know, just like if you were getting airline miles or something like that, would feed back to supporting the work that we do around the country.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, I said I was going to sign up for it, and then I didn't. I totally forgot until this morning. I'm going to do it after the show. I promise. I'm going to do that. And I'm also, I got a reminder in the mail. It's time to renew my Best Friends membership and save animals' lives all over the country. My gift amount is $100 a month that I give to Best Friends. It comes out. It's a auto pay
wow.
on my credit card. So, you know, you can do that too, but it doesn't have to be $100. It can be $5. It can be $1.
That's
Every
right.
dollar helps, doesn't it, Mark?
Right. It does. Every dollar helps. And Bernadette, that is so gracious of you. I didn't, you know, that's a tremendous amount of support. So thank you for that.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. And it's why I do the show. One of the main reasons I continue to do this show, even when it's tough, you know, is because the animals have it even tougher. You know, they've got it tough. It's my life's work. It's my passion. And it's something it's at the very utmost top of my list. So I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Best Friends, Mark Peralta. You're listening to One Life Radio.
If you're listening.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, it is Fabulous Friday, everyone, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. It's a company that I've used for years, and it is our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is America's number one organic pet food with the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful foods using sustainably sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Blech, what did I say?
I think you're trying to say grass-fed beef, right?
I don't know what I said. I switched it all around. That was pretty funny. I don't think I could do it again, but grass-fed beef, you guys. Oh my God, it really is Friday. You can tell. I'm so looking forward to getting out of town tomorrow too. It's been far too long. It's been actually a year since I've gone anywhere. So I'm looking forward. I'm going on a road trip and I'm going to listen to lots of music, Junior.
Yeah, that's the best time to listen to it.
Oh, I know. It is. I'll be singing too, do you think?
Yeah, you should download that band I told you about, Tame Impala. Listen to some of their stuff.
Absolutely. I'm going to do that. I am. And
I'll
there's
text
nothing,
it to you so you can remember.
Yes, please do. I love a good road trip. I think everybody does, don't they?
Oh yeah, I do for sure. Yeah. You'll love their music too. So
yeah, I can't wait. Looking forward to it. And you know, it's so great to be here. Always, you're listening to One Life Radio, everyone. If you're just now joining us, we are live from Dallas, Texas, on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Mark Peralta continuing on with us. He is the Chief Program Officer for Best Friends Animal Society, which is a leading national animal welfare organization dedicated to ending the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. It's a crazy good organization, you guys. They really are going to save them all. Do you think it's going to happen, Mark, by 2025? Which is your goal?
Well, Definitely it's going to happen, and it's going to happen because we are so not alone in this. And yes, it is a goal that Best Friends puts out there to get the public involved, but the shelters all over the country are the ones that are kind of doing the work and banding together. So it's definitely going to happen.
I can't wait for that day. Lots of bottles of champagne are going to be popped, aren't they? Animal lovers all over this country. But, you know, your national conference is coming up. And so I know that there's an amazing list of speakers for the event. Who are you most looking forward to hearing from?
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's a really hard, obviously, to answer. But, you know, somebody that comes, you ask me that. And we have a speaker from Louisiana Public Health, the CEO. Her name is Selena Davis. And one of the things that we know is a big barrier for us to reaching 2025 is we've got to get better as an industry in animal welfare of reaching sections of the community that we're just not as diverse as we should be to be able to get them more on board with us of being supporters and those kind of things. And she's going to give a really good kind of keynote talk on really helping us take those kind of baby steps forwards where we can kind of, you know, start to do that in our own lives, which will hopefully equate into our work. So that one I'm really excited about because I know it's, you know, it's a good thing, obviously, socially for us to kind of understand each other as Americans and how different we are and value that. But it really plays into one of the biggest barriers in our no-kill work is really, you know, judging individuals being really hard to adopt from having rules that really kind of section out sectors of you know, the community that really love animals and want to be a part of whether saving alive or fostering. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm excited just hearing about it. Anything else? Any other speakers that you'd like to highlight today?
Oh my gosh. Well, you have Julie Castle, who always, and Julie Castle is our CEO, if you don't know, she's going to be speaking on a couple of different things. She's definitely going to have a panel that I'm not ready to release yet, but anytime you hear the CEO of Best Friend speak, Julie, super inspirational. She's kind of the engine that drives us, the vision with her and the board. So I'm really excited about that. But I got to tell you, there's 100, like I said, well over 120 speakers. So many of them are great. Like just across the board, I'm really excited about this year's conference.
Well, I'm going to be sure to tune in or whatever they call it, connect up, but because I want to hear Julie, I want to hear Julie speak as well. In fact, she's who I got the reminder from today from the desk of Julie Castle. So it's funny that's. You know, but you know, what else can you tell us about the conference in June that maybe people need to hear or understand about the work that you do?
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, a lot of people think, especially with the usage of no-kill language, and Best Friends very much plants the no-kill flag, it means that it's kind of an us versus them kind of routine where you have shelters that maybe aren't no-kill. And I think the thing and the perception that I think surprises a lot of people is we mostly work with shelters for obvious reasons that are not no-kill because we need to help them. And a lot of times it's never because they want to unnecessarily, you know, end the lives of animals or those kind of things. They just don't have the tools or sometimes the information to get there. So this really is a movement about bringing the public into kind of the animal welfare sphere because there's so many people out there that can help. And that's really been the biggest barrier. So it's really about supporting animal shelters, animal shelter workers, which I was one that was unnecessarily killing animals myself. So I've been there. I know what that's like. And I just want that reality to be different. And that's really a lot of what 2025 is about. And the conference is really about all these different methods and things that we could be doing to save more lives to get to our goal.
Yeah. And a lot of times people don't have a choice. You know, I don't know if I can tell this story well and quickly, but the first, one of the first dogs that I rescued in Dallas over 25 years ago, actually a little longer than that, but I had found it running down the road nearby the first pizza place that we opened here at the first Pizza Patron here in Dallas on Jim Miller Road. And a lot of people listening are familiar with that area of town. But anyway, so we were so poor. We had just started out. We couldn't even finish the counter of our restaurant. I mean, we had no money. I was working three jobs and we could barely pay our rent. Anyway, I found this dog. I picked it up and I actually got mange from this dog. It had mange. It didn't matter to me.
No.
And I had it in my car, my Scirocco, my used Scirocco that I used to have to jump start to get. I couldn't even afford a battery. So we used to have to jump. I mean, this is true story here. And I haven't told this story in years, but I'll never forget the feeling. And I probably start crying now because it was one of the worst days of my life. And so we found this dog. We had no money. Nobody would take it. Okay. Nobody wanted to help, and we had to get to work, you know? And so we took it to the Garland Animal Shelter, which is a suburb. We basically had to lie about where we found it because nobody would take it. So we took it to Garland and said that we found it in Garland, so they took it. And when I had to sign the paperwork, I was crying so hard that the paper tore. And she had to give me another piece of paper because I was so upset.
Wow.
Because she said to me, she said, "You sure you're not, you can't take him because you know they're going to kill him." And I was like, "Oh my God, don't tell me that." You know, I was like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah. And I'll never forget it. And I remember walking out of that shelter and saying to myself, no matter how hard I have to work, no matter what I have to do, I will never let this happen again on my watch. So,
yeah. You know. And Bernadette, that's really what 2025 is about. It's a seismic change to how we kind of handle that situation and situations for animals and shelter workers. I think that's such a great story to emphasize what we hope to push forward in with the Best Friends Conference.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you saying that. And so let me ask you this. Is it difficult? I'm acting like I don't know this, but I'm just going to ask the question anyway. But
sure.
Is it difficult for an individual to start a no-kill shelter or a foster program? You know, what do they need and how can someone find the requirements in their state if they wanted to do that?
Yeah, and every state is different, so it's a really good question. It's not very difficult, but what I would say, if anybody, and I am somebody, obviously, that started a rescue when I moved to my home, which is in New England now, I would say this. There's a lot of rescues and shelters out there. Make sure that before you start your own, that you may not be able to assist in one of those freestanding shelters that may need more people. And if you do start a rescue, just make sure that there is a community gap that you're trying to meet and not just, you know, another dog rescue to kind of pop up. And I think that's where it could get confusing to the public, where they have 70 different places to go get animals and they're not really differentiating themselves. So you can look on your state, you know, first off, you usually have to be a 501c3. So those, you know, you can get onto a federal website and kind of look through that. And then states have different requirements based on whether it's through the health department, Department of Agriculture, that would kind of give you your 1, 2, 3s of what you would need to do to comply to be an animal service organization in that state.
Or you could just do what I do.
Yeah.
You just have 21 animals, right?
That's right. And you're perfectly legal, so.
And yet, you know, that's one of the reasons I live in Sunnyvale and have for years, is because they were the only little township that didn't have the rules where you could only have 2 dogs in Sunnyvale. At least,
right.
Best I know. I hope I'm right, or I'm in trouble. But
yeah, you just called yourself out. If not,
well, I'll do whatever it takes. So there, I'll do whatever it takes. But maybe I'll have to get myself classified as one to stay in business here. But yeah, Sunnyvale is one of the few little townships that you can have, you know, horses, donkeys, cows, pigs, whatever you want. And I don't think there's a limit on it, at last I checked anyway. So,
there's not. And Bernadette, if I may, just some really simple, if you want to attend the Best Friends Conference, it's the 23rd and 24th of June. It's from 9 to 3:30 Mountain Time on those 2 days. But again, if you can't see all of it, you will have like a month after to do on-demand stuff. It's $55. Go to the Best Friends website. Please,
well, you know what?
If you have any interest in animals.
Yeah, we'll actually create a little spot and we'll start playing it on the air between now and then. That'll help. And also, I just want to give a huge shout out to Castor and Pollux, because, you know, they bring this animal segment to you. They care about pets like we do, and it's a great company, and my dogs love their peanut butter cookies. As well as their dog food. So.
There you go. Trifecta. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Mark, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for all the work that you do, and we'll talk to you later, alligator.
Thank you, Bernadette, and congratulations on your daughter's graduation.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Have fun this weekend.
I'm excited. I'm very proud of her, and thank you so much. Everyone, we'll be right back with Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I don't
listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Friday. It's Furbulous Friday, everyone. The Billie Jean, that makes me want to dance. That's a throwback. Holy smoke. Oh my gosh, Junior, love being on the air with you. If you're just now joining us, we are live from Dallas, Texas. Junior in the Mix with me, Bernadette, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos with us again. I love this woman. She is the lead veterinarian for Merrick Pet Care, the makers of our Furry Friday sponsor, Castor and Pollux, organic and responsibly sourced pet food. Dr. Lobos is a practicing veterinarian with more than 15 years of experience in the pet food industry. She loves sharing the power of pet nutrition with colleagues, pet parents, and friends. In her undergraduate studies, Dr. Ruth Ann pursued an animal science degree. She went on to receive her Doctor of Veterinarian Medicine from Louisiana State University and became a certified canine rehabilitation therapist. She is an avid marathoner and triathlete and proud mama to three active pups, Wrigley's, Stella, and Finn. You can find Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos at their website, castorandpollexpet.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Lobos?
Hey there, Bernadette and Junior. Great. Happy Friday.
I know. It's fabulous. It really is.
It but, is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we talk a lot about mental health in this world, in this country, when it comes to humans, but we don't typically talk about pets' mental health but and caring for the mental health of our pets, but that's our topic today in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month. So let's talk about this, Dr. Ruth Ann. So how do we provide mental enrichment for our cats and dogs?
Yeah, and I love this topic because I think it also demonstrates how our cats and dogs have gone from, say, the backyard or just outside roaming around, you know, into our houses and now into our beds. And they truly are, you know, those family members that we have to address on a 360 view, right? Not only taking care of them from a nutrition standpoint and, you know, an exercise standpoint, but also that mental enrichment. And part of it does come from, you know, that exercise. And I know we've talked about that in various ways and different angles a couple of times on the podcast, but certainly engaging their minds can definitely enrich their lives as well as tire them out a bit. So, you know, like I'm a big fan if you've got, you know, especially one of those like more mentally active breeds, like a border collie, who we know in Australian cattle dogs that are super smart and high energy. Lot of times giving them food puzzles or teaching them tricks to do can tire out their brains, which then helps to make them just more relaxed in the house.
Yeah.
For our cats, right? A lot of times people are like, oh, my cat, it's just, you know, he's an indoor cat. He doesn't need a lot of activity. I can't, you know, I don't take him up for walks. I haven't taught him that. But there are tons of things that we can do, tricks that you can teach them, mazes that you can make out of like cardboard boxes. So I've done a lot of online shopping. I think my husband now thinks that I have a little bit of a problem, but
so
we do get a fair amount of boxes that come, you know, to the house. And I've watched my son create these amazing, no pun intended, but mazes and structures out of them. And we all know how much cats love boxes. So by letting them explore those mazes, again, tires out their minds and also uses some physical energy too.
Yeah, you're giving me some great ideas. I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but I have a recent rescue. Her name is Francesca. She's a feral cat that came right off the street. She's never been inside. I have her in my daughter's old bedroom. She's got a wonderful little setup, but I'm really worried about her, Dr. Lobos, seriously, because she still hasn't come out of her shell really that much at all. She was letting us like scratch her on the top of the head at first, but pretty much she stays under the bed, on her little bed, or over in this thing that I call the what do I call it? I can't think of it right now. But it's like a little teepee. It's like a little teepee. And, but I don't know what to do. I think she gets out and moves around at night when she knows that the house is quiet. But I'm really worried about her being so stressed out and her mental health seems to be getting worse, where she's getting, I don't know, less what do I want to say, less warm to my advancements of trying to like patter.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit more recluse and things like that.
Yeah, recluse, that's the
word. Yeah. So, you know, especially for indoor cats, having at least visual access to the outdoors is super important. Some people will actually go to great lengths and create like a catio. So they, you know, will build a little extra, you know, add on to either their house or make this a large window box and, and have it all screened in so they can get that outdoor air exposure. But at least having access to, you know, a big window that they can sit in and see and smell the smells from the outdoors is super important. Another thing that you can do is to start to build trust with her is, you know, there's a great website called the Indoor Cat Initiative. So it's, I don't want to misquote it, but if we Google Indoor Cat Initiative, and it's put on by the Ohio State University's vet school, Dr. Tony Buffington, and he's got some really great tips about how to enrich the living space for, you know, various, I would say, types of cats, from being super recluse to the super friendly. But, you know, I think one of the things that we definitely bond with our pets over every single day is nutrition. So if there's a way to kind of start to build Francesca's trust through nutrition, that is a fantastic way to get, you know, her to potentially start to come out a little bit more and recognize that you are not a threat.
Well, you'll be happy to hear this. Of course, she eats Castor and Pollux cat food. For sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no. And, you know, that's I'm so thankful for bringing it up and you providing us all with that information, because I'm definitely going to do something. I just I can see it. She's getting more reclusive, like you said, and I don't want that to happen. I feel like I don't want her to go, you know, crazy. you know, I want her to, I want her to become a part of our family. So even though I really don't need another cat, I don't think I could turn her over to anyone, because she is so fragile and she is so scared. And it takes time, though, right? Everything, any kind of relationship with an animal, for them to trust you, takes some time.
Absolutely. Yep. It's a very gradual process of building that trust, for sure.
Well, let me ask you this. What are some signs that our pets or our pet may be stressed? And is it different for dogs or cats?
Yeah. So, you know, every cat and every dog is unique and an individual, and that's why we love them so much. So even their signs of anxiety and stress can be different, but some of the things that we'll see, especially with cats, is they can sometimes over-groom. And it's the same, you know, not too dissimilar with our dogs, where a lot of times cats will just lick their bellies raw. And because they just don't know what else to do, and they've got this nervous energy, and that's kind of a soothing technique for them. Same thing for our, you know, for our dogs. A lot, sometimes they will, you know, lick in one spot, whether that's on their front leg or their back leg or something like that. And it's, again, a sign of they just don't know what to do, what else to do. Other times I had a French bulldog who had separation anxiety. And so when I would leave the house, he would, no matter what, he would try and either get out of the crate that we had him in and would shred his blankets. Or if we left him out, he would find, you know, whatever he could to, you know, any paper to shred or get into the trash and try to shred that. So again, that was a sign of, you know, that stress and trying to find a way to calm himself. They can sometimes even have, you know, if they're really stressed and have high anxiety, that can lead to some GI upset as well. And that's certainly something you would, you know, you'd want to talk to your veterinarian about.
Well, you said separation anxiety, and then you said relaxation. It makes me think of this product that I use all the time, Dr. Lobos. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Heavenly Hounds. And it actually was invented by a guy in the fireworks business. And when they sell fireworks, they sell these Heavenly Hounds, peanut butter flavored relaxation squares. They work like a charm. They've got valerian root in them and some, I'm trying to think if I have it here, valerian root and passion flower. Anyway, they work like a charm, and I give them to all my dogs. Like, I'm getting ready to travel tomorrow. I'll be giving them one first thing in the morning, and my caretaker that'll be here to take care of the animals for me, give them again to them at night. But they really work. Is that a good solution when you're for separation anxiety, giving them some sort of supplement like that?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different options and approaches to helping with separation anxiety. What we found, and, you know, again, every pet's going to be a little bit different. You know, I think certainly talking with your veterinarian or even a veterinary behaviorist, just depending on the degree of anxiety that they have. But some things that we found that worked, you know, some pets really do well if you put them in a crate and so that they know that that's their space and they get very used to it. Other times having things like talk radio on so it sounds like or the news so it sounds like there's someone else there. It also can serve as kind of a white noise, you know, drowning out any sort of other like car doors slamming and trucks coming in the driveway and things like that. There are, you know, there are numbers of products out there, everything from herbal supplements to actually, you know, prescription medications that you can get from your veterinarian. Again, just kind of depending on the severity. There also are a couple of pheromones that you can use as plugins, either or sprays and things like that. That one is called Feel Away.
Yeah.
The other one is called DAP that can also help to mitigate some of those signs.
Well, I have Feel Away all over my house. I have a Feel Away one in the room with Francesca right now. And by the way, that product does work. For me, it's always worked pretty well because, you know, I have 11 cats. And 10 dogs. So, and they're kind of divided up. In fact, I'm surprised Butters isn't up here. Usually he's my cat that can open any door in the house, Dr. Lobos. And it's kind of maddening, but it's so cute. I mean, but it's funny. But yeah, the Feel Away does work really well. And I appreciate you giving that suggestion because I totally forgot that I even use that product. But so I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. Everyone stay tuned. Our topic today is caring for the mental health of our pets with Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On social media at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. It's almost the weekend. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I am here with, we are live, Junior in the Mix, myself, and Dr. Ruth Ann Lobos, continuing our topic today, caring for the mental health of our pets, an honor brought to you, in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, I need to finish my statement, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. It's a company that I've used for years, and they are our official pet sponsor here of the Furry Furbulous Fridays that we bring to you on One Life Radio. So, Ruth Ann, we... Right before the break, we're talking about, you know, how scary it can be for pets, you know, stress-related things that can happen to them. One of them is going to the veterinarian. That can be extremely stressful for our pets. So, you know, what can we do for them before they go and when they get back? You know, what can we do to make it easier on them?
Yeah, and I know especially this time of year when there's, or I should say this time of life that we're living in with the pandemic where a lot of our pets aren't getting out very much, or then when we do go to the veterinarian, you know, it's what we call concierge service, so the pet comes out to get them and we don't even get to go into the clinic with them, which, you know, I would have said very differently in 2019, you know, being able to be there with them and staying calm ourselves, because that oftentimes they read our behavior so well. We don't even know we're giving off cues, and they can pick up on it. So one of the things, and I would still say that applies, especially like on the car ride there and even afterwards, to make it as, you know, for us, keeping in that positive state of mind can certainly bubble over into and onto them. The other thing is to take them to the veterinarian for things that aren't stressful. So bring them there and just have their weight checked. Bring them there and just to get a treat. Like a lot of, I would say now that the world is quote unquote starting to open up again, and you know, they may be allowing the pet parents to come into the clinic now, just depending on where you live and the restrictions that are there. But bring them in so that it's not always where they get a shot or something, you know, quote unquote terrible happens to them, where it's just fun. And even starting, you know, if you have that opportunity to start when they are young as puppies and kittens, where they just go in and, you know, and they get played with. And so they start to learn that, you know, the vet is not a scary place to be, and it's not where they get hurt. And we're fortunate now where things are starting to change as well, because I, you know, from my 15 plus years of experience as a veterinarian, I think one of the worst ways that we start a visit is with taking a pet's temperature. Like nobody really wants that. And so we've got some new technology that we can now get their temperatures in very different ways. It's not so invasive for them.
Oh my gosh. Well, how does, I don't understand how, no, go ahead. Okay.
I was going to say the other thing, you know, that we can do is some pets get just stressed out by the car ride or seeing especially our cats, seeing the carrier. So, you know, having that carrier out, teaching them, you know, maybe even just randomly, you know, throughout the week or the month, not even associated with going to the veterinarian, you bring out the carrier and you put some treats inside or you put some toys inside so that, again, they start to associate that carrier with fun. And then you go on short trips and in the car with the carrier and, you know, or a seatbelt. And so they're securely in the car and just having fun. And then you gradually build up where one of those times is actually you go to the vet, but they're already in a calm state of mind because it's something that they're used to doing, where good things, positive things continue to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how my dogs know that they're going to the groomers. I have a couple that have to go to the groomers, and it got so bad that I actually bought the equipment and I'm starting to groom them myself now. But it's so funny. They are so intuitive. They know. And like you said, you know, you're making a great point here that they, if it happens like only like twice a year, of course they're going to go, oh, that's where I'm going. You know, this could be potentially bad. You know, you wonder how they know, but they know, right? Because of the familiarity with it. Or infamiliarity. That was a mouthful.
Right.
Okay, so lots of indoor cats never go anywhere. So how can we make that easier? Cats are just so difficult, aren't they? More than dogs. They just really are.
They're very particular. They know what they like and what they don't like, and they're not afraid to express it. That's kind of the angle I like to take with our feline friends, and that's why we love them, right? Because they are so independent and very committed to their beliefs and their preferences. But with that said, we can again teach them that that there are positive things that happen when the carrier comes out. So, you know, going back to what I said a little bit earlier about bringing the carrier out and putting treats in it. We talked about feel away. So spraying feel away all inside of the cat carrier. And so that can also help to make that cat carrier a little bit more appealing. Some of the cats, as you know, love catnip. If that's something that your cat really enjoys, having that either in the cat carrier so they have something fun to do in there, or even just the smell of that sometimes can help to keep them kind of engaged and feeling nice and happy and fun. So those are ways, to kind of build up that the carrier is not something that represents something else scary that is going to happen.
Well, and I would never think, I know I give my cats catnip, but I would think that if I gave them catnip, so I'm glad you explained it, before they go to the vet, that would make them a little psycho. You know, because they get so crazy when they're on it, right? It's a psychotropic, what do you call it? A psychotropic, right? Kind of?
Yeah. Well,
is that, am I using the right word?
Some cats do get a little loopy when they have the catnip, and some get really playful and relaxed and all of that. So that, I think, is another great lead into a tip is that, you know, when you're going to the vet or when, if you're going to go on a road trip or something like that with your cat or your pet in general, you certainly want to kind of have like a test run beforehand. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. way, you know, as a pet parent, kind of how your pet is going to react. And then if you know how they're going to react, then you're more likely to, you'll stay calm, which will help them to stay calm and relaxed.
I'm wondering if the catnip, if it's different strains, you know, like there is with marijuana, like one is sativa and one is indica. You know, I was just thinking that. I wonder, who knows, right? You're laughing, Junior.
That's right. I am not a catnip expert, so I will refrain either. From comments.
Oh, my gosh. I'll check into it. I'll report back.
Perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Love having you on the show. Thanks. Thank you so much for educating our listeners. Really appreciate you being on the air with us today.
Well, thank you so much, and we're happy to support the program. Have a great weekend.
You too, everyone. And everyone, I encourage you to go to CastorPollexPet.com. They really have incredible products, and I got to kick this field goal. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.